We don't want to keep Brian Kelly waiting, so he's on the other end of our line. Lieutenant Governor, how are you?
I'm doing great, Tony. How are you doing this
morning? I'm doing very well. How's the family?
Family as well. This has been a very blessed Christmas.
All right, we got a lot to talk about, but I got to read this letter because it made me laugh. This is from Terry from Mason. He said, a friend of mine told me this story he witnessed someplace in Ionia County, so I thought I'd tell you what happened. Apparently, Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly was at some location where a guy stepped up to a card table and was asking people to sign a petition to recall Governor Snyder. He apparently did not recognize Mr. Kelly when he asked Mr. Kelly to sign the petition. Now, Mr. Kelly said that if he knew what would happen if Governor Snyder is recalled, and the individual said no. Mr. Kelly told him that the lieutenant governor would replace him. The guy said that he knew the lieutenant governor was much better than the governor. Mr. Kelly replied that if he knew the lieutenant governor really well and did not think the lieutenant governor was all that different from Governor Snyder. Mr. Kelly started to walk away, and then he turned around and said, oh, I forgot to introduce myself. I'm Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly. Did that story really happen?
It was something down in Jackson that was fairly similar to that. But, yeah, I mean, basically what happened was somebody asked me to sign a petition. I said no, and as I walked away, it occurred to me that they didn't obviously know who I was. So I explained to them that, yeah, if they were successful, that I would become the governor. And at the end of the day, though, the fellow was I think quite disappointed to know that it'd be a whole lot of work put into making a switch out at the top that wasn't all that different for him.
You signed about 20 bills yesterday, many of them making minor cleanup or technical changes to implement the new business tax system, which begins January 1. Tell us about that.
Well, we have gone from one of the most complicated, cumbersome business tax systems in the nation to one of the simplest. I expect it'll go from being the tax form will go from being literally hundreds of pages long for many businesses to one or two pages. And that takes the passage of a lot of bills to clean all that business tax code up to make it as simple as we did. But we got it done. I've been pretty impressed by the way the legislature worked, because to make it simple, that means that you got to treat everybody the same. And in the past, there's been a real desire to pick winners and losers, and we've left that strategy behind and said we need to build around the people that were here the whole time and just make sure we have a system that works well for everybody.
From this article that I pulled from the Republican, Columbus, Indiana, it says that there were 323 new laws passed from legislation, which is a state record for first year, two-year legislative session. You guys were busy.
It was, I think, one of the most historic years in Michigan government. Really, I think you'd have to go back to the 1963 Constitutional Convention to see the amount of reform that passed this year. It's been very remarkable, and the exciting thing is we're starting to see some of the results of it.
You know what's interesting? The argument that we've heard from the opposition, what we try to do is ask questions as would people who disagree with your point of view, and they have said all year long that the governor, the lieutenant governor, the legislator is trying to take away the power of unions, trying to end unions, taking away money from unions while allowing the fat cats in business to make more money, when in fact there are lots of other areas that money could be gathered to keep the benefits, the pay, and the cuts from being implemented.
What we're trying to do is just put some balance in the system. We're trying to stop the rate at which Michigan was taking on long-term debt and liabilities. And those are tough transitions, no question about it. And we didn't go in thinking or explaining that any of this would be easy. In fact, the governor said on the campaign trail in 2010 over and over again, this was going to be hard, but we have to do these things if we're to do right by the next generation. So I can understand that there are certain interest groups that look at it and say, you know what, I used to get more and I want to keep on getting more. But at the same time, we could not afford to take on as much spending and as much debt as we did in the past. Times have changed, and we really did need to accommodate for those changes in Michigan law. And now we have a structurally balanced budget that was passed 4 months early instead of leading to a government shutdown like previous years. And we've reduced the debt of the state of Michigan by billions of dollars just this first year alone. And that contrasts, I think, very well with the federal government.
What would happen if the city of Detroit went bankrupt, and how much in tax dollars could that cost Michiganders?
It would be a real disaster. A bankruptcy for the city of Detroit is something that we really can't let that happen. And that's the reason why it's so important that there be a change in the emergency manager statute to prevent that from happening. You know, it's interesting, there's been a lot of discussion about, you know, the impact that law has on union contracts and collective bargaining. Boy, if they think that's tough, they just wait till you see what a bankruptcy court does. And that's the sort of thing that I don't think that there's enough credit given for, that we're going to be able to prevent bankruptcies from happening. And I think that's going to do very, very well by the employees of those jurisdictions. I mean, it'll be a tough change, no question about that, but it'll also be better preservation of opportunities for people than they would have in bankruptcy situations.